CliffCentral.com. Good morning, everybody. We are live. It is Thursday. Oh, my God. Thursday and almost the end of January. Tomorrow's the last day, right? Then we are into the second month of the year. For some people, relief. Relief after the month of the least money. Sia sent us a screenshot of a voice note that his sister sent him yesterday.
Oh my goodness.
How long was it?
8 minutes and 7 seconds.
Now you see, we said Gord was bad, and he is. I mean, Gord sends these long, like always over a minute. I think if a voice note's over a minute, it's a podcast.
Wow.
And you actually aren't you aren't allowed to treat that like a voice note. It's a podcast, and you're expecting people to download your podcast and listen to an episode. That's what you're doing.
Too long. Too much going on there. Mm-hmm. I actually had to call and give her feedback on...
Oh! What was her response? Did she, was she angry?
No. Well, I wasn't interested.
But did you say to her, hey, listen, if you're going to send me a podcast, then... This is how it works.
Yeah, it must be enticing and must be worth it. I listened to the first 2 minutes and then I was
this
done.
Must be like, this must be amazing family info that no one has heard before.
Well, she, what had happened was she was in a parking lot and she witnessed a botched hijacking happen right in front of her. So she was on a Deborah Patter third degree investigative something note. And she was retelling the whole story. I'm like, no, it's still not worth it.
It's got to be really amazing. She's got to almost be recording like a blow-by-blow account live with sound effects in the background of 9/11 for that to be, for anyone to want to listen to 8 minutes or whatever it was of that.
Still wasn't worth it. It was a very humiliating story because it was middle-aged women who were hijacking.
Oh, no.
No, so I'm not laughing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was a hijacking and also they were trying to steal from their local grocery store.
The middle-aged women were
middle-aged
doing...
Middle-aged women.
They were the thieves.
Yeah.
People are desperate, hey?
It was like one woman who was heavily tattooed, another woman who had like ginger hair, and they had gone into their local grocery store.
What?
They had...
I'm intrigued.
If only she had layered the story, probably maybe all 8 minutes would have been worth it.
Yeah, like, you know, style is an important part of this, and I don't mean style as in the way you look, but the way you deliver a story. Some people are really good storytellers. Mm-hmm. I know two or three people who they could tell you the most boring thing in the world, the water going down the drain, and they would make it sound like a movie.
Yes.
Those people I kind of envy in some way.
You kind of just itch closer, you scoot to the front of your seat, you want to listen.
Yeah.
And these women ended up like buying tons of champagne, and they paid with a fraudulent card. But by
and
the
that's
time
how they got caught?
Yeah, by the time they actually reached their car, they actually got out of the store scot-free. But by the time they reached their car, the getaway car, the team inside the shop had realized what was going on. So as they were trying to stop them, they're like, abort mission, try and find another car and drive off. So it was just humiliating.
But did they lock them up?
It was, yeah.
Okay, well, you see, not everyone gets away with stuff. Only politicians.
Yeah.
Imagine getting a call now that your mother was stealing.
I'd be so embarrassed.
Your mother tried to hijack a Ford Focus. And now she's doing 7 years.
Yeah, I'm not answering that
phone
call.
That's terrible. That is just humiliating.
I am not answering that phone call.
At least in the DeSantos' case, like your mother or your sister or your daughter, whoever is trying to steal a whole country in Angola. Anything else is unacceptable.
Is that true?
Oh, Isabel de Santos. No, things are really getting hot there.
Because they were putting her up as like a...
I don't know enough. Maybe we
should
ask... Great
successful woman. And
She was the richest woman in Africa, but like her dad was president of Angola. So if you're a politician and your children get rich, this is the problem with Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's son. This is the problem with Dudu Zane Zuma. This is the problem with anyone whose dad or mom was in politics.
Uncles, William Kize and his niece.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, the minute that shit happens, I do not respect you because you didn't make the money on your own. You did it through your parents. Don't expect to talk business with me I'm not going to sit down and have a conversation about profit and loss and income statements and invoices and clients, and I'm not going to share any interesting facts about my business with you. We are not going to talk at that level because you are not equal to me. You got your money in a way that is unnatural, that is not about profit, that is not about supply and demand. It's manufactured, it's artificial, and it's because your surname is X or your daddy or your mommy is Y. It's not on. And I can't respect people like that. There's this video going around of someone, I'm not sure if... People are saying it's Jabu Mabuza's niece, but it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So someone called Mapula, and she's getting like a Lamborghini at the Saxon. Have you seen it?
Oh, yes. So she is the COO of Discovery Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And she's married to, is it the CEO of something at Vodacom?
Oh. And is it legit? Because I don't know that in a country like this, even if it is legit, yes, you keep that stuff to yourself. Like, if she's not getting that money from public money, public tax money,
mm-hmm.
if she's actually earned it, even if she was a superior performer and she deserves this as her bonus. And there are many occasions where people have worked extremely hard. They've put deals together. They are the reason that we are paying less for this, or they're the reason that we can suddenly do this on our phones, or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
There are people who deserve payouts of tens of millions, even hundreds of millions of dollars, because that's a life's work that's come to fruition.
Yes.
I have no jealousy. I have no there's no bitterness and resentment in me for those people to win.
Oh, right. Yeah, I'm seeing a couple of articles debunking the whole thing that she's the daughter of Jabu Mabuza.
Okay,
now.
So...
Yeah, so she's Mapula Mzimba, and her husband is the CEO of Vodacom Business, William Mzimba. But still, that's a lot of money.
So here's what I'm getting at. So let's say she deserves it. Let's say she's been paid out and it's an important thing, and maybe she's... You know, done an amazing job. I want to know what, because fuck me, there are a lot of people who are doing a good job of work, and they don't have that car.
CEO of Discovery Bank, yeah.
Okay, so Discovery, what it does is it reflects badly. Discovery Bank is what, 2 years old, maybe?
Yep. Well, I just saw
and they're not shooting the lights out, I've got to tell you.
I just saw one response from one of these tweets, a person saying, well, that explains why my bank charges and my data charges are so high.
This is what happens. The minute you show off how much you've got with something like this, and this is conspicuous consumption of the worst kind, that car is hideous, and it is just a big waste of money. You could do better to set a pile of 100 rand bills on fire. Because it's not clever to show off money like this. It makes people extremely uncomfortable in a country where we just do not have money at the moment, where we see a huge wastage of public and private funds in every way. If she's the COO of a newly established bank, I'd be calling her in this morning if I was her boss, the CEO.
Why?
And I would say to her, listen, you're embarrassing everyone in South Africa. This is not the way to behave.
I'm pretty sure Adrian Gore is going to pull her in. Because he doesn't...
You've got to fire people. I've never seen Adrian Gore driving a drop-top car anywhere around town. He lives here in Joburg.
Yeah.
I've never seen him...
I bet you know what he does.
I've never seen him in any, like, hideously ostentatious clothing. I've never seen him doing... I've never seen him doing anything that rich people do to show off. And I mean, look, that's true for all the billionaires in the world. They don't behave like billionaires. That's why they're billionaires. These people who show off what they've got and drive Lamborghinis and, you know, and have unveilings at the Saxon, which is what happened here. These are not people who come from money who understand that money is only theirs temporarily.
No, she's having an awkward meeting this morning. No. Adrian Gore, he's not going to play that.
Anyway, so I brought her up because something else happened. Shaquille O'Neal has decided that he's going to donate proceeds from Shaq's Funhouse, which is a Super Bowl event that he does, to the foundation and families who lost loved ones in the Kobe Bryant crash. Now, if I die, I don't want you to do that. If I die... No, I was talking to a friend of mine about this first thing this
Explain
morning.
Explain this. What do you mean?
If I die, I want mourning, wailing, misery, gnashing of teeth, events cancelled.
Yeah.
I don't want fucking any happiness in my wake.
Mm-hmm.
I want people to be sad for a long ass time.
What's the cutoff? How long am I pretending to be sad for?
Like a week. Because you can't. No one's sad. No one's still sad.
A week? That's too short.
What? Please, yeah, you're not going to get them to keep crying for longer than a week.
This is when I do lean towards liking culture and tradition. Because in...
You want it to go on for a long time.
In authentic Zulu tradition, you know, like if... I'm married and, well, if I was straight and married, my wife would have to mourn for a year. So she would have to wear all black for a whole year. And as a sign to God in public and say, look at me.
Widows,
I need all of that. Yes. Oh, a week. Gosh. That's when the third delivery of scones has arrived.
Obviously, I'm exactly the opposite. I would like everybody to just carry on as quickly as possible after I've died and have a big party. That would be the thing for me. I've been to a couple of funerals and wakes in my life, and the best one ever was a guy, he was in his, what, maybe 70s, maybe early 80s, and his family all got together at their house. They had a massive drinks party. Look, he was Irish, so the Irish, all they know to do is drink. Irish culture is just drinking and potatoes, really, and you know, stupid dances. Anyway, they had the best party, and everybody said a few things. Not everybody, but the family, maybe one or two other people, said some very nice things, but short, sharp, no 8-minute podcasts. And then everybody carried on with their life the next week. There was no funeral coffin going into the ground. Wailing, gnashing, mourning, misery. It was just done. It was like, okay, let's tie a little knot in this story and let's move on. It's beautiful.
You know what black funerals become? Everyone who's always wanted to be a public speaker and is in the family or is old gets their chance, and it is a nightmare. I've been at a funeral that lasted 4 hours.
Let me just think about it.
It is.
Wait, is that including like the food and the eating?
No,
afterwards?
No. Yeah, okay. No. We're still,
because 4 hours is a little too short. Yeah, for me.
4 hours. We're just sitting at listening to people.
4 hours. Oh,
Gareth, we sat there 4 hours. 4 hours. I'll never forget it.
Even the dead people are like, get me out of here.
Yeah, that's what we're waiting for the guy to jump out of the coffin and go, let me go, I'm done. 4 hours. It was brutal.
Hideous. Mickey's just sent me a screenshot of a 20-minute podcast.
Mm-mm. Oh, come on now.
That someone sent as a voice note. Now, my phone, sometimes it doesn't work so well for voice notes. Like I push down on the thing and it doesn't record properly and it stops.
Uh-huh.
But you can actually push it up and lock it and then it carries on recording.
Yes.
Holy hell. If you're doing 20 minutes... And Mickey says he only sends 20 seconds, but this is one he received. 20 minutes long.
At that point, why isn't it a phone call?
Yeah, but, you see, that's just someone who really thinks that they've got the most important shit in the world to tell you. I'm very proud of the fact that I can get under a minute almost every time.
The only thing that I'm willing to accept is that Mickey, unless she's way too hot for you and you've just started having adult relations in the bedroom, you're going to have to put up with that for a little bit. But that is, if you've known her for longer than 3 weeks, that is unacceptable. That is mental.
If it's a her, even worse, if it's like family, I can see her case.
Oh, no.
Because then they have no respect for your time. 20 minutes.
No, that's outrageous.
Mickey responded, so I'm not feeling too bad for him as well. He responds to all of it. Oh, well.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that is unnecessary.
Yes, that's shocking.
How do I get in touch with producer of channel for interview?
With producer of channel?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm just going to ignore that. All right. And if you don't listen to us and you don't know that the producer of channel is Sia Sangweni in this case...
But channel, not the show, not the, you know who we are.
Yeah.
But okay.
No. I listened to your discussion yesterday about banning alcohol at Stellenbosch residences. This is a temporary ban that the university's brought on that we discussed yesterday on the show. I work at Rhodes University. Rhodes banned alcohol in residences years ago and is probably one of the few universities without a bar on campus. Really? Rhodes. I thought Rhodes was the most drunk university.
They are. Well, Grahamstown's the most drunk place.
Oh, here we go. The message continues. In my opinion, it doesn't reduce alcohol consumption in any way. Students just get drunk across the road and stagger into the res. Yeah, see?
Yeah,
stupid rules.
But we know what prohibition does. We don't need to go on about it.
Correct.
Prohibition's not the best way to stop anything.
Oh, okay. So Rhodes implemented a policy back in 2015 for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. This is, recognizing that students are young adults able to make choices about their personal lifestyle, the university encourages an enlightened, mature, and responsible approach to alcohol consumption. I'm surprised that this went under our radar.
Problem is, you got to live in Grahamstown, and there's nothing to do there but drink. It is.
There's nothing to do.
It's in the middle of nowhere. It's no. They can ban it all they like. You're going to get hammered.
Okay, Riet says. Here's the thing about having a first-year student at Marty's. The stories, which are all true, are starting to come through. In the one male residence, they've got two miniature ponies who were both elected onto the house committee. That is normal, right? I love it. Taking a leaf out of Caligula's book, he made his horse a senator. I love that. See, and that can only happen when you're drunk.
So far, I say yes, that's normal.
Yeah. So if you can elect your horse onto the house committee for your residence at university, you've done well. And put that horse, make it the president of your, and make it go to meetings.
But as someone who didn't go to university.
Make a mockery of politics, I love that.
Hearing everyone who goes to university and specifically lives at res, they recount stories like this as opposed to, oh, I loved my lecture. I loved waking up at 8 a.m. and I'd be there sitting in. No, it's all about these ridiculous stories. This is part of just university life.
We mentioned yesterday that we're doing a special preview of the movie Jojo Rabbit next week, and you can get tickets for that by emailing events@cliffcentral.com. I don't know how many are still available, but this message is coming from Sean. He says, I've already watched Jojo Rabbit by naughty means. It came out last year, and I really didn't think it was coming out here, like The Lighthouse, so I had to resort to what I needed to resort to. Highly recommend the movie. It's in my top five for last year.
Oh, wow.
How about it?
So if you wanted to get those tickets, do we still have some available?
Just a bit, yes.
Okay, so get those emails to events@cliffcentral.com. Free popcorn and Coke. You can go and watch the movie. Come and join us. It's going to be in Hyde Park in Johannesburg. So unfortunately, if you're going to, you know, so you're thinking of driving all the way up from Hermanus, it's maybe not worth it. But otherwise,
hey, if you're committed to it, if you're committed to being with us, show how much you love us. Drive from Hermanus.
Show how much you love us. You know, the minute someone says that, it's like when you're dating a girl and then she says to you, oh, can you fetch me from the airport? Now, I've had this conversation before on the show, so I'm not going to go into too much detail. But in an age of Uber, nobody needs to be fetching anyone from the airport. It is a disrespectful waste of someone's time. You can get on the Gautrain, you can Uber, you can do whatever you need to do. I'm not a taxi service. And I don't care how much you think it proves that I love you. It doesn't. It's just transport.
Preach.
Yeah.
Preach.
I know CS pulling a face because he thinks differently on this. We've had this conversation.
Don't you believe
before.
In love languages?
What do you mean?
They say people respond to things differently based on their love language, in inverted commas. So some people like gifts, some people like words of affirmation, some people like time, if you're just around them today. You are not feeling this. This is a hard sell.
Don't need to be fetched from the airport. You are not. Your transport does not prove love.
Those might be people who appreciate a love language of, you know, just love acts of service. Yes.
Is this Oprah?
No.
Are you sure?
There was a book, Gareth, that went around a couple of years ago.
This is not Oprah.
No.
The Five Love Languages. The Five Love book.
It's the biggest bunch of nonsense.
Well, hey, Mbulelo, how successful is your relationship?
I spoke to a psychoanalyst about it, and she laughed. And she's like reputable.
Look, it's written by Gary Chapman back in 1992.
Well, that's one to scratch off your reading list if you're thinking about it. But really, if somebody is going to determine whether or not you love them and you care enough about them by whether you're going to fetch them from the airport in prime traffic.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
They are not in love with you. I would turn it on them. I'd say, oh, so I'm just a taxi service for you.
What do you mean? Because
that's no expression of love. The Uber driver that you could get doesn't have to love you. Therefore, if you want me to be your Uber driver, that does not mean that you love me or that I love you any more or less. It's just transport plus petrolo. It's very expensive.
If you're upper middle class and you live in the suburbs of Johannesburg, I'm sorry, get on the Gautrain. Yeah. It is ridiculous to make people fetch you from the airport. Well, what?
I agree.
You guys have no sense of romance.
That's not romantic.
It's not.
Romantic is what you do once you are with each other or once you decide to do something together. This is
click
a practical
on an Uber Eats order when we're sitting on the couch.
No, I'm not saying that. You still go for romantic dinners. You'll still pick someone up if you love them for the dinner. But these days, it's not as important how you get there.
No. It's a utilitarian function. Getting somewhere is purely utilitarian.
Especially because there are so many options available to people now. You know, it's not like you're from out of town and you don't have a car, and it's 1983.
Goodness.
So what, do you fetch people from the airport when they...
Yes.
That is so ridiculous.
And I'm still waiting for the day
that someone fetches you.
When I land. Yeah. So the doors open.
Yeah, basically you have a yearning. You want someone with a board.
Saying, oh, yes. Yeah, yes,
I love you. Welcome home.
Is board, the balloon. Yeah. And then you need
the driver's hat.
So grand with your gesture.
By the way, I want to do something next time I get back from America. I want to pay somebody to stand in the arrivals hall with Harvey Weinstein written on a board.
Oh, jeez. Okay, no. Okay.
In a suit with Harvey Weinstein written on a board and a blow-up doll. I want them to stand in the arrivals hall and wait for me to come through, and then I'm going to go, oh, hey! And I'll walk straight up to the sign that says Harvey Weinstein, because can you imagine
why would you
what
want to
people
do that
will be saying before I walk through the door and afterwards? It's hilarious. Or, this was always fun, I did this once. I went to fetch someone from the airport in the days where there weren't Ubers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I wrote on the board some celebrity's name. I think it was Britney Spears or whatever. Ms. Britney Spears, I wrote on a board. And then she came through the doors. And I was like, here, over here. And people, but everyone is looking at your board, right? They're like, wow, Britney Spears is coming. It's hilarious. But the Harvey Weinstein one you got to do.
With a MAGA hat. You've got to have a MAGA
hat
on.
That's a good idea. Mm-hmm. Yes, good idea.
Yeah.
Mr. Eric Trump. And you stand there with a MAGA hat. That's hilarious.
There are just certain names we shouldn't deal with anymore. Like a Trump.
So your sister's never fetched you from the airport, yeah? No one's ever fetched you from the airport?
No, they have, but it's not like...
Begrudgingly, though?
No, it's not a romantic partner who's like... A knight in shining armor.
It's unbelievable. So not only do they have to fetch you from the airport, but they have to love you.
I love my sister, but I don't want her to be the end of my romantic story. No, it must be someone who absolutely loves me and has got her to proposing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sia, when will you be advising prospective ticket winners to see Jojo Rabbit that they have or have not got tickets for Wednesday next week? A very urgent email here from Ruth.
Okay. We'll let them know in due course.
Don't panic, Ruth. You know, keep your tits cool.
don't put it like that.
Vern says, so my mate's arriving from Australia on Saturday. He visits every year and we've made a tradition of fetching him. But now I have to reschedule my tequila because of this fool. Surely it's not rude to just send him an Uber. I'll even pay for it, Vern. Yes, Vern, exactly. You have other shit to do. Going to the airport is painful and boring. And for me, it's 45 minutes. I got stuck in traffic for an hour yesterday. There was some accident on the highway.
Mm.
If you're on the road for longer than half an hour, it's not good. It makes you cross. You're going to arrive there. You're going to be aggravated with this person. That's not the way to be fetched. You rather want the Uber to pull into your house if they're staying with you or wherever they the hotel that they're staying at, and then you meet them there and you're happy to see them.
Mm.
You're not being put to work as their transport slave.
Yeah, it's the same as now when a partner or you're courting somebody, you don't cook for them for 3 hours anymore. You go onto your phone, there's an app, and the food's there in 25 minutes. And it if it's about the gesture.
And it doesn't have to be Uber Eats here. It doesn't have to be like takeaway food. You can order very nice stuff from very nice places now.
There you
and
have
you can
it.
Pass it off as your own.
Yeah.
No next thing you're going to say, oh, does it really matter that I'm standing at the altar with you? You know what? I'm creating employment. I'm going to hire an actor who's going to say vows with you. And then you know what? Meet me afterwards.
You sound like those people who say that.
This is, the end is nigh with you guys.
You're jumping to such...
clearly, it's
stupid.
Like, oh, a whole day of a wedding. Oh, you know what? No.
You're so emotional.
I'm so frustrated.
Calm down.
You guys should be swept up in love and emotion. Gosh.
Mental.
Talking about the MAGA cap, I watched the first episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm Season 10, which is hilarious. Larry David, you know, he's just one of the funniest people that's ever walked the earth. He's so awkward. So uncomfortable, and he pisses off everyone he meets. He is just a savage. And Larry David, in this episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, he buys a MAGA hat, a Make America Great Again Donald Trump supporting hat, and he wears it to get rid of people because it's like a social repellent. So he wears it, he has to go to lunch with this irritating guy. And you know, in Los Angeles, where Larry David lives, no one supports Donald Trump. So you're pretty much guaranteed that if you wear a MAGA hat, everyone will leave you alone. And he gets like dirty looks in restaurants, but he doesn't care. And he manages to like cut this lunch with this boring douchebag short. He's sitting at a sushi bar, and these two fat people come and they want to sit next to him, and he puts on the MAGA cap, and they go, oh, no, let's rather get a table. He's driving down the road, and he swerves because he's distracted, and there's a biker, and the biker is like, hey, man, fuck you! What are you doing, you stupid asshole? And then he puts on the MAGA cap, and he winds down his window, and the guy goes, oh, try to be, you know, a little more careful next time. But before that, he was shouting. So I'm going to get a MAGA cap. I've got a MAGA cap. I actually bought one in America just for shits and giggles.
Yeah.
I gave it to my dad, who's never used it, so now I'm going to go and get it from him. And I'm going to keep it on me.
Oh, no, guys.
And I'm going to wear it in situations where I don't want people to bother me. Because they're not going to bother. If they think you're a Trump supporter, they'll leave you alone.
You should go to Poetry Slams and see, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
My.
Gareth, we have to record that. Go to Poetry Slams with your MAGA hat.
There will be woke people having apoplexy.
Oh, my God.
But it's just amazing how that hat triggers people. So I'm going to get it, and I'm going to start wearing it. If you see pictures of me in it, you know what the story is.
Please don't pick me up at the airport wearing that cap.
All right. Now, that would be fun. Vessel says, I own a MAGA cap. I'll pick you up. Let me know. People look at me extremely funny, by the way. It's hilarious. So you see, this is not just my idea and Larry David's. Lots of people posting lots of funny pictures of Corona beer being separated from all the other beers. Because coronavirus...
Oh, goodness.
That's happening.
Yeah, the friend of mine who had her holiday planned to go to China with her fiancé and the kids...
China.
...has just been contacted by their airline saying, okay, listen, we are halting all travel.
Oh, really?
Indefinitely. And we're going to actually help you move the date forward. Because as well, they were planning on going to Disneyland. And according to several news articles, Disneyland has closed off indefinitely as well. So this corona thing is not here to play. Even though, yes, it's only like, I think, what, 81 people now? Mm. According to the latest numbers of people who have died because of it. But, yeah, people aren't taking any shortcuts when it comes to dealing with it.
I'm going to do the five things you need to know, but there are a few messages here. Sia, please just get a manslave, for heaven's sake. This is from Leighton. He's just... what you want is not a lover. You want a slave.
Yeah.
So just get a slave.
No.
I'm with Leighton.
Okay. You know what? I want to set up this man council, and let's talk on the 14th of Feb and see what your partners are saying. See if you're going to have a happy household when you just pitch up at home. Arms wide open with nothing.
Sean says, I've seriously been considering procuring a MAGA hat. I'm at that point. And then someone sent something from Rick and Morty that says, change the coronavirus name to Kung Flu. Yes, I've seen that. That's pretty funny, too. All right, lots of good stuff. Your messages on 0797482090. Let's see what you're up to this morning. Let's have a conversation about just about anything. We've got the Burning Platform coming up a bit later on. Very exciting. Canton will be in, but we've also got Big Daddy Liberty. Sihle Ngobese is going to join us.
What a cool name.
Yes. Newly installed panels from the U.S. border wall fell over in high winds on Wednesday, landing on trees on the Mexican side of the border. You know, this is obviously like, you know, it's very embarrassing, according to the left-wing media, to Donald Trump, that a wall fell down in high winds.
But it's just a wall. Yeah.
It's a wall blowing over in high winds. But it's CNN's lead story this morning.
You know, they're loving it.
It's just so, and I see Jim Acosta's like tweeting it and retweeting it, and he's so excited. That you have to rely on God sending wind and blowing over a wall that Donald Trump didn't even build with his own hands in order to embarrass the man means you have to dig deep.
While the New York Times is asking Elizabeth Warren who her celebrity crush is.
Yeah, this is very important. Okay, federal agents have discovered a drug smuggling tunnel that stretches about 3/4 of a mile along the southwest border. This is why people want to build walls. Because they're
in continuation of story number one.
Some motherfucker has built a 4,309-foot tunnel, which starts in Tijuana, Mexico, which is 250 feet south of the border. It travels underground into San Diego County in California. It is equipped with air ventilation, electricity, an extensive rail and cart system, and even an elevator at each entrance, according to U.S. Customs and Border Protection.
But you said feet. Is that miles?
No, feet. 4,309 foot. So that's...
Oof.
Oh, let's man. Convert. Do the conversion, because I'm not going to do it right, and then people are going to stop trusting me, and it's going to be a disaster.
It's going to be fake news.
Yeah.
What is it? In feet?
4,309 feet.
It's a kilometer. Just is over it? A kilometer. Sure. Yeah, like a kilometer and a half.
The sophistication of this tunnel demonstrates the determination and money resources at the cartels. Because, of course, they use this tunnel for drugs.
Probably El Chapo's latest or his last great feat, probably.
Maybe. But they've got remote-controlled cars and all kinds of things to do this. Drones. It's amazing. And then, of course, the wall's not going to stop this. But this is why people demand a wall. Because they feel like their borders are a joke. Okay, and then in other news, Jack Ma has donated $14 million to develop a coronavirus vaccine. Jack Ma, of course, is the Alibaba founder, China's richest man. So he's decided, screw this. He is throwing some money at the problem.
Please, and anyone who dares wants to comment on the amount of money that he's donated.
Jack Ma didn't give
can
enough.
Just take
he's
a backseat right now.
He's thousands and thousands and thousands of millions more.
Let's not do that.
Why doesn't he give all his money?
And what are you doing with your 50 Rand, Dennis?
Dennis.
The billionaire has earmarked 40 million yuan for two Chinese government research organizations. The remainder of the funds will be used to support prevention and treatment measures. The donation follows an announcement on Saturday by Alibaba that it is setting up a 1 billion yuan fund to buy medical supplies for the province of Wuhan and Hubei, the epicenter of the virus outbreak. So well done, Jack Ma. Again, all those people who criticize billionaires, what are you doing?
Now, Gareth, I'm, as you know, very rational.
Yes.
Never blow never, things out of proportion.
And never emotional about things like people fetching you from the airport.
Not at all. But did you also hear that Bill Gates has put some money to find a vaccine?
Hmm.
He says that he wants to find a vaccine for coronavirus in Africa. I was having a conversation with my friends. They're very similar to me. So I wonder, maybe we might just have the short end of the stick and might not be informed. We don't have coronavirus in Africa, so what is he doing here trying to find a vaccine? And when you find a vaccine, don't you have to toy with the actual sample?
When you get home today, so is he, no, the coronavirus will be waiting in your toilet.
coming to get you.
I don't understand.
Right here. Get ready to be infected.
What am I doing this weekend? Locking the door, shutting the blinds. I'll see you all next week.
So there's this telescope in Hawaii that has taken pictures that show features as small as 30 kilometers across on the surface of the sun. Yes, you can actually watch. If you go to bbc.com, you will see a moving picture of what the surface of the sun looks like. And it's called the Daniel K. Inouye Solar Telescope. I just call it the Danny K. Telescope, eh? The Danny K. Telescope, eh? It's remarkable set against the scale of the sun, which has a diameter of 1.4 million kilometers. It's 149 million kilometers from the Earth. And each of the cell arc structures is roughly the size of the U.S. state of Texas.
So go and have a look. Fucking amazing.
Don't you say Danny K. is telescope. Not one of the greatest
people. It's called the Daniel K. Inouye Solar Telescope. Daniel K.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, go and have a look. Axe.
Wow.
Apparently this telescope is pretty amazing. It can look directly at the sun. But then they have to cool it with water. There's enough water that could fill two swimming pools or something that they have to cool it with.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Pretty amazing. I mean, you can't look at the sun. You'll go blind.
That's ridiculous, yeah, that we're doing such...
These mirrors and things, they get so hot.
We got excited by CDs just 20 years ago. We can now see the surface of the moon.
Of the sun.
Oh, I mean the sun. That is
idiot.
Outrageous.
The sun. The moon. Idiot. You're not listening to a damn thing I'm saying.
Damn it. I thought it was the moon. All right, well, that's not exciting then.
The moon, we don't get that. Good with that.
There's some story about how Russia's funded an IVF baby boom because they're trying to get more people in Russia to have children.
Yeah.
You know, like so many countries in Northern Europe, the Norwegians, the Swedes, the Finns, the Russians, the Poles, they're just not having enough kids.
That town in Italy that doesn't have people living in it, yeah. It's like, wow, come to South Africa.
Apparently, this is a big thing. There is a fertility treatment available. Boosting the national birth rate is a top priority for Vladimir Putin, who made this one of the key topics in his State of the Nation address this month. He says, Russia's fate and its historic prospects depend on how many of us there are. Announcing enhanced child benefits and payouts for families for every new baby to help the country escape from the demographic trap. So if you want to have 10 kids, go to Russia. They'll help you. If you want to have 10 kids in South Africa, it's a sure way to poverty.
No, you're just another person.
No.
You're just another person.
It's true. And then there was this great story. I know we've said five things, but today there's six. This great story that I tweeted yesterday from CBS News about a mother who says her son with long hair was denied admission to two schools in the UK. Did you see the story?
I saw it.
Did you see the picture?
Cute baby.
He's not a baby. I mean, he's a kid. So he's like, kid. What? He must be a six or seven or whatever. Yeah. But this kid has a mane of hair.
It is.
It's mind-boggling. That
no.
Anyone, yes. No, no, insane. So first of all, it doesn't look like a boy. But, you know, we're not into gender discrimination of any kind. So let's just say this mom and her kid really are into hair and fashion. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
She says two schools have denied him admission. Well, it's because no one can fucking sit behind the kid because you can't see through this huge head of hair. First of all. Second of all, the kid looks like Chewbacca. Now, I don't know whether the parent is looking for attention here and whether she's raised this son of hers to be an accessory. I had this conversation with someone on Monday. You can't do this with children. It is parental abuse. Do not make your children an outlet for your lack of freedom expression when you were a kid.
Mm.
It's just cruel. It's like calling your kid a stupid name. They have to deal with that, not you.
Mm.
This child has no idea, or it's just discovering now, much to its misfortune, that it has become an internet parody. It has become an object of ridicule. This child is being mocked. It looks ridiculous. The child has too much fucking hair. And it's no wonder two schools have said, you can't come. If there's a lice outbreak...
Oh, I didn't think about that.
This kid is infestation station number one. Okay, so first of all, there's that. Second of all, Just because you live in a free society does not mean you have the right to be an idiot. And other people just have to tolerate it. No other kids in the class will be able to see past this kid's mane. It's a lion's mane.
No, come on, guys.
And it's a boy, and you're embarrassing him. And one day when he grows up, he's going to have massive psychological issues, Mom, about what you put him through. And you probably just did it for attention. Because you're probably fat, unattractive, uninteresting, and you're probably a bit of a simpleton. Oh. And now your kid has to bear the brunt of your need for attention seeking. How? Oh, we are double geese.
Please listen to this. Forcing children to cut their hair is totally against human rights, and I will not give up trying to persuade governments to put legislation in place.
Is that what she said?
So this is on Instagram, by the way.
Is that the mom?
I don't know. Whoever, what? Farouk James is. Farouk James could be anyone. Like, this is mental.
But it's also past that age where there's anything, like, associated with the haircut. Like, you know, some parents don't chop their kids' hair until they...
There's none of that. You know what? You've got to fit in with society sometimes. And if you want to go to that school, and their rule is, this is what you do with your hair, then you've got to cut your hair. If you don't like the rule, go to a different school. If you don't like the rule... Go to a different school.
I like it already. Farouk James is at Bad Mother Blogger.
Oh, boy.
Wait. Runs this page. An organic, first of all, so that should scare everyone. An organic documentation of her son's journey through philanthropy, childhood, travel, and natural hair. It's disgusting.
This child is an accessory to this person.
Yep. That's exactly what every single Instagram post is, the child's hair. Child and hair and child. It's madness.
The kid...
Ooh, cunty.
Yeah.
Since baby age as well. Oh my God, look at this.
Poor kid. This poor kid is being documented. This kid is a content hub for the mother. She should not be allowed to have children. This kid should be taken into child custody by the state. I never thought I'd say that, but she sounds worse than if government raises your child. Wow, this is abuse. This has got to be abuse.
If you don't want people to have children, don't educate them. Smart people don't have kids. That's why Russia is having less and less kids. They educate everyone. Smart people don't have kids, Gareth. That is a pity.
GC, this comes from Chris. Chris says, hair does not make a man. You sound like those old school Afrikaans moms.
Oh, my God.
I really don't care, actually. I honestly don't really. This kid is just, it looks ridiculous, and I feel sorry for the child. And if you read what the mother's got to say about it, you can see she's an activist without a cause. So she's made her child's hair the cause. Do me a favor. I just had a great idea. Please arrange a golf game for us with Ben. Make up a reason for him to attend. I'll play along with Ben and wear my MAGA cap. It's a great idea. Gee, you really stopped reading the news from News 24. You should stop reading the news from News 24. No, we don't. I don't think we've read News 24 for a long time. There are other sources that are probably quite a lot better. I'm a huge activist for getting an Uber driver to fetch you from the airport if he can find your terminal. Anyway, I stopped asking the people in my life because my phone died this one time I landed at Oratambo. My folks, who couldn't find me at 6 p.m. when I landed, they only came back after 2 hours. So you were stranded at the airport for 2 hours. That's horrible. Lindy, I'm so sorry.
Just charge your phone. There's plenty of plug points at an airport. Lindy, what are we talking about here?
Sure.
Mbulelo, do you understand this concept called sympathy?
No. Independence. Just charge your phone. Gareth, there's so many plug points at an airport.
I can't argue with the logic.
Why did you wait for 2 hours?
You are not a... Yeah, you're not a sympathetic person, but you are sensible.
Let me not bring any issues I have to you. Hey, Mbulele, well, you know, my arm just got chopped off.
See, don't stand near knives.
See, come on now. You still have another arm.
Mbulele reminds
two legs.
Me
come
of
on
a friend I had at varsity whose motto was, bad things happen because you deserve them.
What?
That was his motto.
Wow.
Yeah. He used to say that to us.
There's a reason why that's not on the back of a sugar sachet, okay?
Bad things happen because you deserve them.
That just doesn't work around these parts.
What an incredible way to live your life. Wow.
Your co-host did not appreciate your Danny Kay joke enough. Oh, rubbish. They laughed. What are you? You want them to guffaw instead of just laugh?
Ooh, word of the day.
Yes, golf. I want golf with Ben. You've set the golfers off now. Why don't you guys just ask Ben? He'll play golf with you. He'll play golf with anyone.
He will. He loves golf.
Why do potentially attractive men not shave their heads and leave like a comb over or a fryer tuck look? Just shave that shit off and grow a bookie. When they start going bald, obviously. That's from... Okay, well, you know what? Let people have their hair. Frankly, this kid is not my problem. He's in the UK. He can go to the school with anyone else's kid. It's your problem then. You make an issue out of it. But the mother sounds like she's got mental health issues.
Speaking of those elderly men who are going bald, I saw a couple yesterday. They have quite an age gap between them. I'd say easily 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
Because the lady looked like she had barely even hit 30. But the man was going through that phase where he was going bald, but you can tell that he's trying to fight it.
Yeah.
So his actual scalp had this glean to it because of how much gel he was using to just slick the two clumps of hair.
Shame, man.
Was it Tokyo Sahuala? Because him and Natasha De Silva did their thing.
No.
All right, okay, sorry,
that's
Tokyo.
So sad.
Sorry, Gabriel Sahuala.
Sure.
Shame.
I wanted to tell you something now, and I've completely forgotten. Oh, Chewbacca's on the line. I want to talk about this situation with the hair. Do you want
Farouk
to talk to
James?
Chewbacca? Yeah, Farouk James. Sorry, let me call you by your proper name. Farouk, Farouk, go ahead. Yeah. Well, I maybe for the other kids in the class, it's just a little bit difficult to see past your hair. Well, I understand that your mom has been blogging about your hair for a long time, but maybe your mom should find something to worry about that's important and let you be a normal kid who can grow up without huge psychological damage. I understand. Listen, dude, I mean, you're 6 years old? Yeah. Well, yeah, no, I know it's very unfair, right? Yeah. Look, all I can say is, all of us here are very sympathetic to you, except Mbulelo, who thinks that bad things happen because you deserve them. And I hope that you eventually end up being very successful. And if you want to keep your hair, you keep it. All right.
Look, this baby.
Say hello to Han Solo for me. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
This kid is such a naturally beautiful kid, but...
Yeah, he's a good-looking kid, but his hair is ridiculous.
This is me
like
trying
Rapunzel.
To be objective.
Rapunzel from the fairy tale didn't have this much hair.
To me, it seems
a
little too obvious.
And people climbed up Rapunzel's hair, up the tower.
It looks a little too obvious that the mother is fame hungry.
Yes, she's lunatic.
With every single post, she'll tag some famous person.
The mother's on the line. You want to speak to her?
I don't.
Hey, mom. Right. Yeah, she sounds totally stable. Thank you.
And I'm all for being unique and be yourself, but when you straighten a six-year-old's hair...
See, that's...
No, he looks like a little girl, and the playground will be amazing.
She's just...
But okay.
In some ways, she's probably doing something that could have brought her in quite a lot of money, but unfortunately, Michael Jackson's dead.
Sorry. Those weren't even synonyms. I don't know what sound came out of my mouth.
You sounded like Chewbacca.
I became...
Do you know what makes her...
That, bag, that yes. was wow. really bad.
That was powerful stuff. You know, the natural hair thing, of course, there's a conversation to be had there. But she's now taken away from that conversation by being a fame-hungry monster.
Yeah.
I mean, we heard her on the line.
But watch, people are going to fall into this trap. It's believe you me, this child is going to get endorsements now.
Yes,
going to
but be this interviewed, is all she's after. This is what we've got to stop falling for this stuff.
because we have real human rights problems. She must stop diluting it to this. And also, by the way, dear society, human rights also come with responsibility.
Well, if coronavirus spreads and we're all facing like a billion people infected and dying, I mean, it's not going to happen, but let's imagine it does. Suddenly, this woman and her child and the hair is going to go to the back of the queue of important things, and it'll never be reported on again. So, in priority, this is not a big one. But the newspapers love it because it gets people all wound up. Look at me, how wound up I am.
It's a real jackpot. Mixed race, baby, hair. Yes. She's really hit the jackpot here. Oh.
All the victim categories she's ticking off here. If only the kid, she should break his legs because then he can be in a wheelchair.
Well, she's encouraging people to DM her, hashtag androgynous, hashtag gender neutral, hashtag non-binary, hashtag for everyone.
Farouk James is actually a model, so his mum is just trying to protect an income stream. Yes, that's it. And why should we all be part of this?
Well, this kid is going to be so gorgeous.
If you haven't seen the possible ramifications of parents using a child star, I would encourage you to go and watch Joe Rogan's episode with Macaulay Culkin. It's chilling stuff.
Shame. Kobe Bryant's wife says she cannot finish a sentence without crying. And then some people are responding to that by saying, I promise you we don't need updates on her grieving process. But some people like it, eh? Some people love mourn porn. Some people are so into that.
Look, this, we're far from hearing the last about Kobe Bryant and this whole accident. I think there's going to be a massive memorial. I'm already anticipating they're going to use the Staples Center in Los Angeles.
For sure.
For a massive memorial.
Of course.
Like that.
Yeah, that's the right place to do it. But it's weird. Like, I get almost like a press release from a friend of mine who's very political.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the only reason that this friend of mine would send a press release out about how sad he is about Kobe Bryant is because he thinks that because Kobe Bryant's black, that he's got a link to him. I'm like, you sad, sad person. Because Kobe Bryant, he didn't watch basketball. He didn't care about basketball, right?
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't interested in what Kobe Bryant did in his life because you could see it from the press release. And I put press release in inverted commas.
And who wrote this press release?
It's a friend of mine. And he's an acquaintance. He's not a friend. If he was a friend, I'd have more respect. It's essentially about how he's sad about Kobe Bryant. But the only link I can find between him and Kobe is that Kobe's black and that he's black. That's all. They have nothing else in common. He doesn't watch basketball. He didn't know the family. But he's carrying on. Like, this is a big thing in his life. But the only thing I can think of that links them is that they're both black.
Has he made it about himself?
Yes. Like
his personal trauma.
Oh, yeah.
Goodness. Like, the world's lost a great guy. Like, Kobe Bryant was on his way to being a polymath. I mean, he was one of the greatest sportsmen to ever live. He's won an Oscar already for his short film. And he's only 41. Could you imagine what he'll do by 50?
Well,
the society's lost.
I'm sad about it, but this is weird to me.
That's weird that your friends made it about. Oh, acquaintance.
A press release.
He's like a press release.
He needs to go and chill with my dad. That's the my dad. Sure. Also.
Speaking of Kobe Bryant, let me give you a little sport.
Mm-hmm.
Before part one ends.
Yes, good idea. Bring on the sport.
It's a great
idea.
Does
it involve Farouk James?
No.
Oh.
Moving on swiftly. So it's the 25th anniversary of the toughest rugby competition in the world. Super Rugby is back this weekend. Thank goodness. Mm-hmm. Although Sanzar have done their best to try and ruin this competition, it marches on. If you don't know,
how many teams are there now? 503.
It's 15. It's way too many. We got Japanese guys in the mix. Most Japanese teams are like New Zealand teams. So it's a shambles. Sanzar have done their best, but it's back. It's an awesome competition. And I know South African rugby fans. We won the World Cup last year, but the honeymoon is over. I'm afraid we're about to have a dose of reality. Uh-oh. I went to Soweto 2 weeks ago. Gareth, see ya. It was a pretty cool experience. Probably the most white people that have been to Soweto ever, by the way. About 70,000 of them there. It was a vibe. They did well. They even they played Mandozas and Galaga.
No, stop. Wait, are you being for real?
For realsies.
Oh, that hasn't been played
You
since.
Know.
2000s.
You know, that's the South Africa. But they, it was a real vibe. But speaking about rugby, not looking good. So all four teams played. Didn't love what I saw, but the usual suspects are the ones to look out for this year. It's the Crusaders, right? They are basically the All Blacks, and they're looking unstoppable. So they're looking ready to go. Game of the weekend, Sia Kolisi, who's back from injury. Sia Kolisi.
Okay, it took me a moment.
Sia Kolisi and the Stormers welcome the Barrett Brothers and the Hurricanes to Cape Town this weekend. Saturday mornings make sense again. Welcome back, Super Brew and Chill. In the Australian Open, and then there were two. Rafa Nadal lost yesterday in four sets to Dominic Thiem. Absolute heartbreak for Rafa. He was really planning on winning the Aussie Open from what he said. But Thiem held his nerve. Three of the four sets went to tiebreakers. And he'll play a man that I believe will take over from Roger Federer. If you haven't seen him.
Who's this?
It is Alexander Zverev. Germany's Alexander Zverev. I know a very, very German-sounding name there. Mr. Zverev is 22. He is the youngest member of the top 10 world ratings in tennis, and he is a dynamo. So he's the next guy. And in the other semi-final, it's the old Crocs. My personal favorite, Roger Federer, will play Novak Djokovic. Let's cherish it. It could be the very last time we see it in Australia. Roger's 38 now. Finals on Sunday. Cannot wait. Aussie Open getting to the business end. That is the sport.
Very nice. Thank you, Mbulelo. That's useful stuff to know. Most white people in Soweto. You know that you too played there once. Just saying.
Sean. That's brilliant, Sean. Touché.
Someone found a picture of that kid in the UK whose mom is a hair activist, and then found a picture of that thing from the Adams family with all the hair and the hat and the glasses on. It's more or less the same.
Wow.
That's powerful.
That is powerful. I like the weather. Do you like the weather?
That is so good.
Okay, Devlin says, if Mr. World Experience, I think he means you,
yeah, let's hear it.
Did his research, he would know that the Japanese team, the Sunwolves, are no longer part of Super Rugby. That's what Devlin says to you, Mbulelo.
And wait, so Mbulelo's now known as Mr. World Experience.
Mr. World Experience.
But I thought he was Principal Mbulelo.
Yeah, have you got any philosophy for us today?
Oh, I thought we already did it. But remember to...
I'm sorry, there isn't time.
All right, well...
We have the Burning Platform next. Very exciting. Stick around for Canton Pele. And we're joined today by Sitlin Gwobese, who is Big Daddy Liberty. I feel like it's going to be a bad day for socialists and left-wingers today with those two in the studio. So if you'd like to stand up for socialism and left-wing idiocy, then you're welcome to. Just get hold of us on 079-748-2090. I promise we'll treat you with respect.
And just a quick reply to that guy. By the way, I've done my research. The Sunwolves are only out from next year, you clown.
Big fight on between Devlin and Mbulelo.
Sorry, Devlin. Sorry, not sorry.
Someone else is complaining. Do you want to hear another complaint about you?
Absolutely.
All right. Morning. This is not a full sports report. Liverpool beat West Ham last night and is now sitting 19 points clear of the second place Man City.
They are. That's not news.
Let's see if the cretinous Ben replacement says anything about Man United winning. We accept that we are not entirely shit at the moment, but let's try to do a good job.
you beat Tranmere.
Tranmere?
Yeah, you beat Tranmere, then they're like in the third division. That's
by the way, is that for real that there's a poster of Federer versus Nadal, but it's actually got a picture of Djokovic up in the Cape Corner?
Yes, oh, it was quite a bit of controversy.
That's
yeah.
embarrassing.
You only had one job.
Yeah, these tenderpreneurs. Just do that part right, then we won't have to like embarrass you publicly.
Too late.
Jeez. All right, when we come back, the Burning Platform. CliffCentral.com.